All right, good morning, good morning. They want me to start, I believe, so I'm going to go ahead and welcome you to our morning service here at Independent Bible Church on this final Sunday in June, our kickoff tonight of Vacation Bible School. I'm assuming you are sharp people. You have recognized that already as you walked in. And we did not just redecorate the church. This is for Bible school, our theme Stompers and Chompers, Dinosaur World, taking a look at God's creation, sin, salvation, God's remedy, God's plan, all that he did. And that'll begin tonight at 6:45. I'll say more about that during announcement times. But we are glad to have you here on this Sunday in June. I know that summertime is here and families take advantage of vacation. And we always will probably have folks out of town every Sunday as different folks go different places. But we're glad to have you here. We're glad to have some visitors here filling in some spots of some of our regulars. If you are visiting for the first time or first time in a long time, love to welcome you to IBC. My wife and I, after the service, will be at that back door. We'd love to meet you and greet you. If I didn't have a chance to say hello to you, we normally have gift bags. I believe we're out of gift bags at the moment, but I hope that maybe one of our ushers, someone can hand you a little visitor's a card at least to welcome you to our church. You could fill out the card, put it in the offering plate. When they're passed or after the service, that gives us a record of your attendance, all right? But we are thrilled to have you here today on this June 25th. I appreciate all the hard work that went into Bible school. A lot of hard work still to go starting tonight. And we are thrilled to have you here. I'm going to invite you to stand for prayer. And we're going to begin our service in prayer and then stay standing for our opening hymn. We have two hymns this morning. We'll have an introduction to our Bible school through our puppets in just a little bit. That'll give you a little bit of a beginner's course on the week. And we're excited about that. All right. So let's ask the Lord's blessing. I hope you've come today hungry to hear the Word of God, eager to fellowship, ready to worship. And that starts right now as we pray and ask the Lord to bless this service, to prepare our hearts for all that he has for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. I trust our hearts are overflowing with gratefulness, Lord, because of who you are. You are a great God. You are a good God. You are a just and righteous God, Lord. Everything you do is good and righteous. Lord, we know that we live in a sin-cursed world. So let none of us look around at this sin-cursed world and see all the effects of sin and shake our hand and blame it at God. Lord, you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Lord, we're so thankful that you are the remedy for sin. Jesus Christ in Calvary provided the way, Lord, for our sins to be forgiven, to have hope and purpose in this world and in the eternity which yet to come. I pray each one here today watching maybe live stream at home knows for sure that if today were their last day on earth, they would be in heaven because of Calvary, because of receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your love. We thank you for this church that we can assemble together on this, the Lord's Day, to worship you. Thank you for the boys and girls, those in the nursery, children, teens, singles, adults. We're thankful for each one that is here today. And I pray we've come to worship you, Lord, as we prepare to sing, to God be the glory. Lord, you are a great and majestic God. And Lord, you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, Scripture says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's turn to hymn number 44. 44 in our hymn books, to God be the glory. Hymn number 44.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So lofty the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment. Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
On the last stanza,
great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. And I believe at this time we have a special presentation.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you at first. I was busy practicing my stomping. Around here, you'll meet plenty of stompers, and you'll see lots of chompers, too. Someday, I'll be big enough to be a stomper. What's your favorite kind of dinosaur? Okay. I happen to be a Triceratops. I know. You're thinking, isn't he a little small to be a dinosaur? Well, dinos come in all shapes and sizes, but I'm just a kid. I'm still growing, like all of you. Someday, I'm going to be a lot bigger than I am right now. I'll be huge. Then, I'll be good at stomping. In fact, I feel like a growth spurt right now. There, I look bigger already, don't you think? Well, maybe you just need to look harder. Just wait, someday I'll be the best stomper around. Well, I'm so glad you've come to visit us. We've got lots of dino-sized fun in store for y'all. When you're here, y'all will learn how you can have faith in God and His plan. That's right, God made this entire world, and he has a plan for each and every one of you. God loves everyone he made. That's why you can have dino-sized faith in his plan. Oh, I gotta go practice my stopping some more. Come back again and we'll learn more about God's big plan. See y'all later. Stop. Stop. Well, Dot, here it is.
Here what is?
This is the place I was telling you about. Welcome to Stompers and Chompers Construction Company. These are the people you want to talk to, right?
Yes, they are. I've got my plans right here for them to see.
Plans for what?
Plans for houses, of course. You said these folks are building houses for people, right?
That's right.
I've got some amazing new designs for houses that I'm sure they will want to build. But I was wondering, why do they call this company Stompers and Chompers?
Well, you see.
Whoa. Hang on right there, folks. I can't let you go any farther. This is a highly dangerous construction zone, and we can't have any unauthorized personnel coming through. There's a lot of dangerous work going on.
Dangerous work? What kind of dangerous work? Everybody is on break right now?
I know, but they'll be off their break soon.
Don't mind Rex. He thinks he's in charge sometimes.
Roxy, Pop put me in charge of security around here.
He didn't put you in charge of security. He just told both of us to watch out for unauthorized people.
Well, they're unauthorized, aren't they?
I'm not unauthorized. I work here, and I'm not a person either. Sounds like you need to have a little faith.
Theo brought me here so I could show my plans to the person in charge. See, I'm a bit of an architect. I've got these designs for some new houses you might want to build. And I was hoping that.
I don't know. Pop's a busy man after all.
It will just take a minute.
Say, what's going on over here? Break time is just about over. It's time for everyone to get back to work.
Hi, Pop. Theo just brought this unauthorized person here to show you some plans.
Plans? What sort of plans?
Oh, hello. You must be the owner. My name is Dot. Are you Mr. Chomper or Mr. Stomper?
What? Oh, no. Stompers and chompers are the kinds of dinosaurs we have working here.
Yep, around here, we dinos help people out with some of the heavy lifting, you might say.
Some dinos are stompers. They help stomp the ground flat so our building surfaces are good and even.
And some dinos are chompers. They chomp stuff like grass and bushes so the ground is clear for us to work.
Some of the dinos are chompers all the time. And some are chompers only until they're old enough to be stompers. You might want to stay out of the way of the big chompers when they're hungry.
Oh, I see.
So, what's this I hear about plans?
Oh yes, I'm an architect. I've been working on new designs for some new houses that I'm sure you'll want to build. People always need houses, you know.
I don't know. We already have house plans. Some plans we've been using for 20 years, and they've worked just fine for us so far. I always say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Sounds to me like it may be time for some improvements.
Could we at least look at the plans? I mean, the dinos are always up for a new challenge.
Yeah, what would it hurt?
All right, let's take a look.
Wow. These are cool.
Say, these do look surprisingly good. Different, but good.
I've tried a few new things that I think will work well.
The dinos will have to learn some new skills if we're going to build these houses.
Oh, we can handle it. All we have to do is follow the plans.
Plans are very important for whatever you are doing. I've learned that from the way God made the world, He had a plan for everything He made. Even has a plan for us.
That's right. We can have big faith in God's plan. Okay, Miss... what was your name again?
Dot.
Miss Dot, you've got the job. You're our new architect. So the plans are in your hands.
You got it. We'd better tell our dino crew to get ready for some changes around here.
Let's get moving. We've got a lot to do before we can work on these new plans.
I'm wait.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Thank you. Spirit brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. On the third verse, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I say, since 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Stanza. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. His own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Thank you. Put your hymn books away. At this time, we did have scheduled a men's group, but in the busyness, people being away, weren't able to get all of our practices in, so that will be rescheduled for all the men of the choir that are in that group. And so for this morning, I'm going to be filling in. The song I'm going to sing this morning was written a little bit ago, 1927. And one of those wonderful old songs that gets lost through the years, this song can be found in some of the old Singspiration books that we have in our choir library. The title of the song is Just the Same. And we're reminded in Malachi chapter 3 that God says, I am the Lord, I change not. We know also in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this song reflects those sentiments. When Moses and his soldiers from Egypt's land did flee, their enemies behind them, and in front of them the sea, God raised the waters like a wall and opened up their way. And the God that lived in Moses' time, he's just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. When David and Goliath met, the wrong against the right, the giant armed with human power, but David with God's might. God's strength with David's sling and stone, the giant loaded they. And the God that lived in David's day, he's just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today.
just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. When Daniel, faithful to his God, would not bow down to men, and by God's enemies was hurled into the lion's den. God shut the lion's mouths, we read, and robbed them of their prey. And the God that lived in Daniel's day, he's just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. When sinners to the Savior came, the wearied ones found rest. He pardoned and he healed them all. Each one who came was blessed. Oh, bring to him your load of sin and come without delay. For the God who welcomes sinners then, he's just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today. Just the same, just the same. God is just the same today.
Amen. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. He is just the same today. The same God of the Bible is the same God of today. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our children's church at this time, our sixth grade and down. And any of our workers, we'll let them sneak out. And that's a good number in here today, and that's great. I hope we'll see all those boys and girls back tonight, as well as their older brothers and sisters and their parents. All right, sixth grade down, workers and teachers can be dismissed at this time. I invite you to open your Bible and turn in the New Testament to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians. We have pew Bibles. If you don't have your own Bible or you forgot yours this morning, you can grab a pew Bible and turn to page 1658 toward the back. 1,658, if you're using a pew Bible. Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Some of you were in Sunday school, some were not. If you're not with us in Sunday school, in the adult class, we have been studying whatever became of sin. Our crowds have been small, all right? No, I'm just kidding, all right? Sin, not a topic we like to talk about. But looking at the biblical definition of sin, homosexuality, different sins, adultery. What is sin? Who said it's sin? Is it still sin? How does a person get into that sin? We've been looking at that. So I did mention that, appreciate Pastor Cremard made this podium, all right? Not our normal podium, but we had to clear the stage for different things. But it's a good backup one. The other one's really, really tiny. Hard to get anything on there, all right? And so appreciate him, did a great job. So you'll see him tonight. You can thank him. He's a good craftsman, all right? So still some getting used to things. Most of us don't like change. So it seems a little darker up here. It's a good shine. Things slide a little bit, but we're working together good, all right? You can see if my shoes are shined today. Sometimes you can't see that, all right? But glad to have you here. Good to have some visitors with us. Hope to see you each and every night here. Be praying for our workers. It's a busy week. It is a busy week. It's a tiring week. There are many that just come right from work. It's a long days, but it's valuable days. It's called laying up treasures in heaven. It's called investing in God's bank, all right, for eternal values, all right? And all workers and parents, remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. All right. And your own devices is not what keeps your family running and your health good and your strength. It should be God. All right. So if you think your sleep patterns and your medicine, that can be good and God's design. But that is God that keeps things running. And so if you have faith in God, do things God's way. Now you have to do some planning, meals and lunches and eating correctly and stay on course and close out. You got to have some discipline. All right, but have your family here, have your children here under the Word of God. Bring some folks with you that need to be hearing the truth, all right? We're looking forward to a great week of Bible school. Well, by now you should be there. Colossians chapter number 2. We have looked at this passage before in years or months past, but we're going to revisit it as our launching off point. This will be the concluding message on the series of marriage, home, and the family. That does not mean we will have covered everything on marriage, home, and the family. That does not mean that we have covered everything or we'll never revisit it. But for now, this series, which I began, I believe, at the very beginning of May. So this is really a 2-month series incorporating Mother's Day, Father's Day, and a lot of things in between. We've looked at marriage, the home, family, parenting, biblical home, fatherhood, motherhood, why marriage matters. We looked at a lot of different things. We will continue to revisit those. In fact, I'd love to do a 3 to 4 week, longer than that, but at least a 3 to 4 week parenting class for Sunday school in the summertime. All right, hard to get in parenting classes in the summertime, but necessary in a Sunday school manner where we can be a little more thorough, ask questions, answer questions. What does the Bible say? And I hope our parents are humble enough to admit that you don't know everything and that you need help. And that God's Word has the answer. And that you won't say, well, no, that's humbling. I know everything. I got it all together. All right. And it's not. It's we need God's help. God's given us His Word. But sometimes it's helpful to be in a class where you can hear some things from the Bible in practical form, answer and ask questions, and be able to put Bible principles in action when it comes to parenting and training and raising children, all right? This morning's title, if you're taking notes, there's a spot in your bulletin to take notes. I hope you do that on a regular basis. Our title this morning is Building and Maintaining a Biblical Home. Building and Maintaining a Biblical Home. Before we read the scripture here, I think we understand that, right? There's a difference between building, we have some builders in here, and maintaining. Some of you are in the building section. Some of you are in the maintaining. There's a reason there's cleaning services and repair places. All right? There's a big difference between a new car and then maintaining that car, isn't there? There's a big difference between having a brand new house that you designed and built and you moved in, it's brand spanking new, and maintaining it. Right? Have you never driven by homes and said, what happened? Look at that home. That thing needs to be torn down. Just had one torn down the other day in Duryea here. Well, now, that's not how it started, did it? At some point, every home was new. At some point, it was brand new. Built, prefabricated, perfect condition, humanly speaking. But over time, if it's not maintained, we know what happens. Do you know the same thing is true in lives, marriages, and families? It's not enough just to get married or have a family and have children. Or trust Christ as Savior. Now, in some manners, that is enough, but we understand. But there's building and then there's maintaining. Most buildings, like this building, businesses have a maintenance room or two, don't they? Go to the maintenance room. What's in there? Repair things, mops, cleaners, all kinds of things. It's for maintenance. Most businesses have maintenance people. Janitorial or something, they got to keep those up. They're on an everyday basis cleaning, up, washing, polishing. Clean, I mean, everybody, you got to have those things because we know what happens. Detailing services. You have garages and workshops. I won't ask what's in yours. All right? Like our garage has never seen a car yet in it. All right? Now, that's not designed for that. It's got mowers. It's got bikes. It's got chainsaws, weed whackers. It's got toolboxes and tools. It's got cleaning and supplies and all the things you need to maintain a home, especially if your home is older, right? Got all kinds of things. You've got rooms and closets and things in your home that have supplies, and you might feel like that's all you do. Clean, maintain the clothing, laundry, wash, clean, vacuum, straighten, sort. But it's necessary. Building and maintain. Now, I think we all understand the most important part is the building, the foundation. You've got to have the proper foundation for a home. You've got to have a proper foundation in a biblical home or life or family that needs to be and must be Jesus Christ and His Word. There is no other foundation. Anything else is sinking sand, as the song says. All right? Maintain means to continue. It means to keep at the same level or rate. It means to keep in good condition or in working order. So I want to ask you a question before we begin to read in Colossians. Answer this in the privateness of your heart. What condition is your life right now today? Usually we answer these real quick without any thought, but it may not be true. What condition today is your life in? What condition today, if you're married, is your marriage in? What condition today is your home and family in, if God's blessed you with children? What condition is it in? Have you been maintaining it biblically? Or maybe you're at the point where you're like, I give up. It's helpless. It's hopeless. I don't know what to do. I want you to know God's word has the answer. We looked at a previous passage, Psalm 127:1, a couple weeks back. Except the Lord build the house, the home, the family, we could say the life, the marriage, they labor in vain that build it. You are laboring in vain unless it's built on God and His Word. Everything else is going to be sifting, sinking sand. And one day, if not already, you will live and be filled with regret as you realize you did it your way and not God's way. Well, we know that there is a true and real battle for our lives, our marriages, our homes and families, our own countries. We understand that. It's real. We have enemies. The world, the flesh, the devil, unceasing. Yet God has given us a book. His book, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. Source of truth in this world for our lives, our homes, our families. And we must read, study, and live and know the Bible. Number one, I hope you have a Bible. I hope it's out and I hope it's open because it doesn't do any good just to sit and look at me. All right? God wants you to be involved. So here we go, Colossians chapter 2. You join with me. I'm going to read a short passage. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to jump into the message that God has laid on my heart. Let's begin reading Colossians chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse number 4. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That's a good launching off point because I want to say the same thing right now. What you're going to hear this morning, I believe, is from the Bible. It's from God's Word. It's truth. But be careful because many in this room or watching are deceived, are being deceived, or will possibly be deceived. And the same thing that Paul, the human author of the inspired Scriptures, was saying to this group of people that lived 2,000 years ago in a city called Colossae, he was warning them of the same thing. Be careful. I'm telling you, lest any man, any expert, any person should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, Paul was not with them personally, yet am I with you in the spirit. He's writing to believers, Christians. Joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now you may remember this was a memory verse a year or two ago. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. We're ready. This is believers. Some of you today, you know why you're struggling. You've never received Christ Jesus. You may be trying your best, and but you've never received Christ. You don't have the foundation that these believers here did. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Notice, building and maintaining. I received Christ as Savior. You've got to maintain that. You've got to maintain that because it'll still be under attack. The world, the flesh, and the devil will never stop your relationship with Christ just because you're saved. And Paul is warning these believers who were living in what? A Greek culture, though it was a Roman world. One full of man's wisdom, philosophers and ways of thinking and living that was just constantly bombarding them with this is how you're to live and to think and this is what's right and what's wrong and this is all the same way you received Christ by faith, you need to walk that way. Now look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now we come to the great warning. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil, again, we've looked at this as a military term. Has that idea when you're battling in a city against city, village against village, country against country, and one is the victor. And then you go in and you spoil the city. You win. You go in and they burn and kill and then they spoil. You take whatever you want. You grab the stuff you want and you take it with you. He said, I'm warning you, believers, beware lest any man, philosophy, way of thinking spoil you. Take you and carry you away from where you need to be, the rooted and grounded in the Word of God. What? Keep reading. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain, empty, worthless deceit, outright lies. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments, that word means the ways of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye, as a believer, are complete in Him. Do you know that's Bible truth? That means if you're looking for answers anywhere outside of Christ and His Word, you are looking in the wrong place. Uh-oh, that may not hit you well. You may not like absolute statements like that. But according to the Bible, everything you need and every answer in the very fullness is found in the person of Christ and the Word of God. And the entire objective of the world, the flesh, and the devil, once you've been saved, is to spoil you, and do not believe that. You can run your life, your marriage, your kids, and your family the way you think is best. The way you were raised. The way the world and the experts tell you. The books and the magazines. This is how you do it. Look at all the others. You better be careful. And here is the warning. Beware. Beware, because at one point, this is where you were rooted and grounded. But as the months and the years and the decades go by and you've been assailed by the world, the flesh, the devil, and the philosophies of TV and Hollywood and books and movies, things a lot of believers are not careful with, and friends, you have slowly moved away from where you were and where you should have been and where God wanted you. And now things are a mess. And the warning here is, oh, Christian, everything you need is in Christ and His Word. It all goes back to the sufficiency of the Word of God. Let me ask you, what does the world, the flesh, and devil think of this book? Throw it in the garbage can and burn it. It's fable. It's myth. It's old-fashioned. It's hate. You don't need it. You're smart enough to build your marriage and home. You know what's best. Come on. You don't need the church, the preacher, the Bible to tell you. It appeals to your deceitful sin nature, which by nature is proud and selfish. I don't need that. I don't want that. And my home's not in trouble. My family's not in trouble. And my marriage is okay, and so are my kids. You really believe that? So we have the great warning to beware. Our homes, our lives, our families must be raised. Our children must be trained God's way. There is no other way. It's God's way or it's the wrong way. It's the Bible way or it's the wrong way. There is no middle ground. It's not take a little bit from the Bible that you like, take a little bit from your friends, take a little bit from the TV shows and put it all together. That's not how it works. That's a mingling. That's the rudiments and ways of the world. That's wrong. I want to ask you three questions. Answer these or write it down. I'd love for you to write these down. For those, again, even if you're single. If you're single, maybe your family is you. You're married, you have children, grandchildren. Let me ask you this statement. What is your family mission statement? Maybe I'm catching by surprise. I've mentioned that before. Almost every business has a mission statement. Sometimes it's on the very wall of the restaurant. Certainly on their websites. Usually when you look at purpose, history, mission, it'll even say mission statement. Many of you work with businesses. You may even know your mission statement. You may not know what it is. If you're a believer and you're single, what is your mission statement for why you exist and what you're here for? If you're married, what is your mission statement as a couple, husband and wife? Why are you here and what do you exist for and what is your purpose? If you have children and a family, what is the very purpose of your family? Do you know that many people don't have any answer for that? And if you don't have an answer for that, that'll describe then why you're up and down. No mission, no goal, no purpose, then who knows what? Most athletes have a goal and a purpose. But you know why a goal and a mission statement is so important? Because that sets the goal. If we say, why do you want to be on the team? I don't know. I just don't want to be, I want to get out of school early. There's a lot of people that want to do that. I don't know. I just want to be with my friends. Okay. I just want to be on the team. I like going out to eat, social life, tournaments. What's great? I don't know. You know, get a uniform. Okay. Well, will that not impact your goals then? If you're just content to be on the team, great. I guarantee you won't work as hard. I want to be a starter. Oh, that's a different goal. I want to be the best player. I want to win the MVP. I want to get a scholarship. I want to be the best in the state. See, your mission statement and your goal determines then your work and your actions after that. A person who says, I'm content to be on the team and sit on the bench and be with friends and get out of school does not work the same way as the person who wants to be the number one player and win all state. They will work differently. They will practice differently. They will think differently because their statement is different. So a family, a marriage and a home that has no statement or even mom, then you have no idea what you're doing. If you say, well, we exist for the honor and the glory of God. Now that could be generic, but what does that mean? Well, it means should be everything that your family does or your marriage does or your life does filters back into your mission statement. Now, I usually don't carry my phone up here, but I did today because I didn't have enough time to print all this stuff out. So here's a couple mission statements. Maybe you've heard of those, some of these. JetBlue, maybe you fly. Here is their mission statement, to inspire humanity. Maybe you fly and you're inspired. To inspire humanity both in the air and on the ground. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but that's their statement. Tesla. Oh, yeah, man, I want to have one of those cars. Love those. Tesla. Here's their mission statement. To accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. Now, you don't have to agree with the statement, but you say that's the whole purpose of what they're doing. This is what they believe with all their heart and their passion. This is why they're doing that. We want to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. Wow. I mean, you can go down, you can look at all kind of different ones here and there and see what it is. Now, I mentioned this one before. This one would be one, I believe, if I can figure out my phone here. All right, as you see me tapping, all right, which is how I usually do things. There it is. Now, I'll mention this one. We would call it Christian-based. I hope it still is. Chick-fil-A, all right. But I've read this before in here. This is their mission statement. Now, you can agree or disagree with where they're at right now, where they may be headed. But their mission statement on their website and maybe in their restaurant says, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. Now, you may think that's strong. You may think that's weak. You may say that's a little vague. You may not agree that they're doing that still today. But that is their mission statement. That certainly has made them different. Things may be changing now that their founder has passed away, and that happens a lot of times with colleges, schools, homes, and families, businesses. But that's their statement, so they say, here's why we run it this way, and here's why we're closed on this day, and here's why we do these things. That's a statement. Now, I mean it with all my heart. What would be your mission statement if you've never come up with one? Moms and dads, husbands, wives, single. You need to come up with one today. Biblically based. For some of you, it would be the very thing that gives you some stability. You say, you know, I've just been wandering. I just sort of exist. I don't even know what. No, God has a purpose and a plan. Number two, what are your goals for your family, your children, if you have children in the home? If I said, mom, dad, single parent, what are your goals for your children? That's what I would ask if I had to meet with anybody for any reason, counseling, your kids, your teens. What are your goals for your children? What are they? Because your goals will determine everything. If you don't make goals for your kids, if your goal is, I want them to be Christ-like in everything they do, then great. I'm going to ask you about their phone and their laptop and the things you're letting them hang around with. And I said, that doesn't match your goals. Well, why are you letting them do this? How come they're not in church? How come they're not active? Well, but if you don't have any goals, that's why you're acting there, acting that way. If you have goals, mom and dad, you need to enforce them. That's why you're doing what you do. Why do you discipline? Why do you think church is important? Why do you come to Bible school? Why do you have or not have family devotions? Why do you allow this with your children, not your children? That ties in with whatever you're trying to achieve. High grades, athlete of the year, scholarship, be successful. I don't know what your goals are for your kids. Do your kids know? Do you even know? Number three question. This is for parents. What is your philosophy of child rearing and training, if I asked you? I said, God's given you have a child, 1, 3, 10. What's your philosophy of child rearing and training? I'd like to hear it. Do you have one? Now you do, you may not know what it is, but you have one. What is your philosophy? Because that means that's, if that's your philosophy, that's why you do what you do, or why you don't do what you do, or why you allow what you do, or why you don't allow. That should tie into your philosophy. Philosophy, that word philosophy just means the love of wisdom. The love of wisdom. It's a theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. I have a philosophy of youth work as a youth pastor for 21 years. I had a philosophy that I held to. I wasn't perfect, but this was my philosophy on teens and reaching teens and ministering to teens. That was my philosophy. May not have been the same as everybody else's, but it was biblically based. That explains why I did what I did for those years. I have a philosophy as a pastor. I have a philosophy in a lot of things as a coach. That's a philosophy. That's the driving force behind why or why I don't or why I do. What's your philosophy, parents, on training and raising your children? You have one. Where do you get it from? Where did you glean it from? Most just say, well, this is how I was raised, good or bad. Or many, because we have sin nature, we'll all say this: I turned out okay. Well, let's ask the people that know you, maybe they would disagree. Because the sin nature looks at, you look at yourself and say, I turned out okay. What does that mean? You sure? We all like to think that. There's not too many. There's a few wisecrackers who will say, I did not. I was the black sheep. But most of us, we like ourselves. I turned out pretty good. My parents did this or didn't do it, so we're going to do the same thing. This is the standard. Not how you were or weren't raised. Christian home, not Christian home. Good, bad, the ugly. The basic is the Word of God. Proverbs 22:6, one that many of you may know. This used to be on our cornerstone foundation block of my Christian school, Mount Calvary Christian School in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. I remember when they built the high school wing, I think it was 1980, we had a dedication and this verse is on it. It's on a lot of Christian schools. Proverbs 22:6, many of you can quote it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many of you can quote that. Train, not entertain, train. Train. There's a lot of entertaining going on today with kids. Oh, here, entertain them, keep them busy. That's not training. Hey, look, they didn't yell, scream. They're on their. That's not training. Train up a child, and here's the key phrase, in the way he should go. Now, what's the way he should go, parents? Train up a child in the way he should go. I have a little one, an infant, a baby. God's given them to me. All children are a blessing from God. Whether I was ready or not, whether I know what I'm doing, hopefully you've dedicated that child to the Lord. Hopefully you recognize that it's from God. It's he or she is God's. God has given them to you for, you have no idea how long a time or short a time. God has entrusted that child or children to you. That is your number one responsibility outside of your marriage to your husband or wife. To train that child in the way he should go. This is a great way to go. Right there's the cross. Now that child is a sinner and has a different bend to it. The child by nature, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It said a child was conceived in sin. So that child's not going to automatically go that way. It's going to go this way. You're going to turn this way, and it's going to go this way. And you're going to want to, and it's going to go this way. And God says, oh, no, you've got to train them in the way that they've got to go. Now, yes, they have free will, and yes, ultimately they make the choice. But as a parent, you've got to do everything you can do to train them in the way that they should go. You've got to do it God's way. You've got to do it as young as you can. It's not too late if they're older, but it's a lot tougher, and you've got to be very dedicated. So I want to ask you, parents, which way do you desire your children to go? What are the means by which you're training them right now? Are you relying on the church to do that? Well, that's why I bring them to church. That's why I bring them to Bible school. Great, then we should see you at every service. If that's the church's job. Every service then, if we're supposed to raise them. Every time. Now you know that's not true. We're here to help equip. Church has never been told to raise the children. It's always on the parents. We can be a help, I hope. We can help guide and direct. How much biblical training is going on? Hey, I'm thrilled. I love when you go to sports and parks and beaches, and that's great. And I had a great time doing all that. That's all wonderful. That doesn't train your child necessarily in the way they should go. I'm glad you read to your kids and you teach them numbers and sounds and animals and all of those kind of good things and how to read and speak Spanish by the time they're three. That is great. I'm not against that. But that's not training them in the way that they should go necessarily biblically. And a lot of what we are doing today, it makes us feel good as parents and families. But God says your number one thing is to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, fathers, and train them in the way they ought to go. And it's got to be biblically based. That's the number one thing. And here in Colossians, you see there are two opposing philosophies. Two opposing philosophies for your life, your marriage, and your home. God's way, or verse 8, the philosophies and deceits and traditions and rudiments of the world. Not after Christ. It's always been that way since the very beginning. God's way, your way. God's way, Satan's way. God's way, the world's way. It's always been that way and it always will be. James 4:4 says the friendship with the world is enmity with God. A friend of the world is the enemy of God. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're either parenting or having our home and family or life based on God or the world. And we know what God says about the world. Do not love the world. The world's philosophy and way of thinking. Or the things of the world. If you're a friend of the world and its ways, you're the enemy of God. Well, that's going to be pretty hard then to have a good marriage or home if you're the enemy of God. That's going to be tricky. So I want to ask you, what's the standard? Here's the key. I'm getting to the thrust of the message. I know you won't feel good. I understand that. Don't trust your feelings. Do right. Do right. If I trusted my feelings, I probably wouldn't preach a lot of the messages I preach. If I was worried about all the smiles, everybody looking friendly at me, I probably wouldn't preach half of what I preach. If I worried about the altars being full and people, no, I'm not worried about that. I have to preach what God told me to preach. I want to ask you, what's the standard for your life? What's the standard for your marriage? And what's the standard for your home? What is the standard by which you evaluate and answer all the questions I just asked? Because when I asked those questions, whatever answers you gave, it either was biblical or you went to this. You went to yourself. You just went with your own wisdom. Might have sounded good. Wherever you came up with that answer, if it wasn't the Bible, you heard it somewhere. You read it somewhere. You saw it somewhere. It doesn't mean it was biblically based. I'm going to say something here that I don't think will catch any of you by surprise, but in case you haven't noticed, the world standards are always changing. And they never go up. They only go down. You could call our society today a cesspool of sin, vileness, wickedness. It never goes to God and His Word. It always goes down, 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 down. So I want to take a couple minutes here. We'll get back to the Word of God. I want to go back in time and I want to make a point. Some of you, you were youngsters, teens. Let's go back in time in the United States of America. Let's rewind from 2023. Do we still know what rewind is? Do they still do that? Not with this anymore. Who even has a VCR? All right. We had a VCP as a kid. Nobody even knows what VCP is. Video cassette player. No recording, just a player. VCP. Let's stop about 1954. Some of you have some memories of that. Yeah, I was four. I was in junior high. I was the man, all right? Let's go back. Some of us were not around. As my previous pastor used to say, we hadn't discovered America yet, all right? Let's go back to the 50s and the 60s. And I am no way saying that the 50s and 60s were a high point of American Christianity. Please understand that. Well, the seeds of humanism and wickedness have been planted way long before that. But let's still, for sake of illustration, let's go back to the 1950s and 60s and let's take a look at America, by and large, America. And I want you to pay attention to where we're at today and you tell me if you notice anything. So, 1950s, here were some of the most popular television shows. Now, I realize some of you may have never heard of any of these. I grew up watching old shows. And so know most of these, even though I wasn't around. Most of these shows have things in common, and really, really, we could play them in church, though we wouldn't, and not even be embarrassed or have to mute or fast forward. Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. 14 years running. Father Knows Best. Just listen to the titles. Lassie. You can, people can smirk and laugh, but think about the shows if you know what those are. Think of the structures of the homes and the families portrayed on those shows. Leave It to Beaver. Now, there were lots of Westerns, even the Lone Ranger I grew up with, they quote scripture on there. There were certain things, though, that were the fabric. Think about how they portrayed the home, the family, marriage, sin, wrongdoing, people in authority, church, the Word of God. 1960s. Andy Griffith Show, Dick Van Dyke, My Three Sons. I'm not giving all the shows, I'm just giving you a sample. There certainly wasn't every show was good. 1970s, we're talking about basic primetime family shows. Watch The Shift, 1970s, 50-some years ago, All in the Family. Would we watch that even today? Could you watch it with your grandkids? Be like, Bewitched, Charlie's Angels, Happy Days, MASH. Now, I realize many people today will look at today's and say those aren't that bad. But are all of those, could you watch all those today with children, little kids? Could you be like, well, a few things on there that maybe make... That's the 70s, 80s. Dukes of Hazzard, Dallas, Love Boat, Cheers, Cosby Show, Family Ties, Golden Girls, Miami Vice. The 80s. Anything on there that you think there's any change in the TV shows, the philosophy, home, marriage, family, sin, wickedness, sex, profanity, any difference? 90s, Beverly Hills, 90210, ER, Family Matters, Frasier, Friends, Murphy Brown, Roseanne, Seinfeld. How would we do if we watch those and put them on the big screen? Well, they're not as bad as things today. You know what a lot of Christians still watch these. A lot of adults. Well, we're adults. Doesn't affect us anymore, the profanity, the sexual scenes, the strip joints. We're fine. Beware lest any man spoil you. Do I even need to mention the TV shows today? You know, one of the most popular ones. Of course, today there's lots of streaming and everything. Yellowstone. I've never watched it. I have no idea. Very popular. Guarantee you many have watched it. Some binge it. I looked up just on a non-Christian ratings, non-Christian, just called Family Matters Common Sense Value. Just not even a Christian-based one. It said, whoa, all kind of profanities, sexual things, awful. No way any family or children could watch this, violence, gore, drug. It's one of those popular shows in America today, and even among believers. Some are not even ashamed to even put it on their social media. Shows today that are popular, NCIS, FBI, Young Sheldon, Chicago Fire, Blue Bloods, Ghosts. I don't watch most of those. I'm not here to say yes or no, good or bad. The question is, if you say they're good, what are you comparing it to? That's always the question. If you say it's a good show, what is the standard by which you're basing that on? It's the same standard we often use then for our families and marriages. It's not as bad. I'm not like that family. Now, it doesn't match up with the Bible, but it makes us feel good. It's not as bad as that. Have you been spoiled? Have you been moving away from where God has said to do that? Have you become dull in your senses? Has your conscience become seared? You say, well, okay, ooh, I don't know about that. How do those modern shows today portray love that your children watch? Marriage. How do they portray the family and the home? Do they show that it's, is it between a mom and a dad? Are there any homosexual characters? How do they portray, are there any, by the way, are there any churches on any modern shows? Is not church still a fabric of America? Is not a church, I mean, there are churches everywhere you go. Why are they never portrayed on television? Hardly. They all were on the older shows. It was a fabric of the television show. Authority figures were to be admired and respected. Doesn't mean that it never did wrong. Marriage and family. Dad was the leader. You don't make fun of dad or the home or the family. Never show, I mean, whoa. You say, well, we don't need to do that. What did the average American home look like in the 50s and 60s? Doesn't mean everybody was perfect. What was church attendance like in the 50s and 60s? How were the schools in the 50s and 60s? What was dress like? What were the viewing habits like? What was the music like? How did people view God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, and sin? What were the laws and standards of America in the 50s and 60s? Now we fast forward, 2023. And this is what you see, many wide-eyed. What has happened to our country? do it my way. Some, a lot of people's favorite songs. Oh, you know, again, we use the comparison of the songs in the 50s and 60s. I grew up with that. That's not bad compared to today's stuff. Those shows, the 70s, they're so tame compared to today's stuff. Notice your standard. Notice your standard. How did you get to that standard? Someone spoiled you. You were carried away captive and didn't even know it. You were moved and you didn't even realize it. That's the ultimate definition of deception. If you're deceived, you don't know it. Right? I mean, if you know you're being deceived, you're not deceived. If the guy gives you a bid for the roof and you know he's lying, you're not tricked. But if he deceives you and you, what? You were tricked. You were taken. Ah, you were taken. That's what we say. You were taken, man. Hook, line, and sinker. Exactly. Notice the standard shifted. The standard is the reasoning of your mind. The very reason many people don't get saved. I'm not as bad as they are. The Bible says, here's the standard. Well, my family's not as bad as they are. There's a lot of families a lot worse. That's not the standard. Well, my kids are, but still they're not like. Notice your reasoning is the standard. And the Bible warns us against that. I hope parents and grandparents, you will teach your children this, because you know what? Many don't even know what blue laws are or were. Blue laws, still in effect in many places. Guidelines for Sundays and the Lord's Day. You ought to go back and see what the blue laws were in the 50s and 60s. A lot of your kids have no idea when we say, is that county or state dry? They're like, what are you talking about? Has there been a drought? Say, no, don't go into that little, that's dry. We're talking about alcohol and booze. Go back to the 50s and 60s and see how many states and counties were dry. Not one state today is, only a few. There are counties. There are places. I know North Carolina has 100 counties. I did a study on this for Bible years ago. Out of the 100 counties in North Carolina, there's still one county, whole county, dry. In the far west, a very conservative area. All right, an entire county, no booze or alcohol in there. You got to go somewhere else. What is it like today? Capital punishment. What was that like in the 50s and 60s? Capital punishment, straight across almost. Today, been abolished in 23 states, very rarely practiced. I have a point to all of this. TVs and movies. I don't know if you know what the FCC rules were for TV. That's why you watch the older shows. No cursing, no swearing. Certain things couldn't be shown, waist up. Single beds, right? Think of Dick Van Dyke, I Love Lucy. Couldn't even show any of that stuff. I mean, whoa, nothing inappropriate. Couldn't show any kind of living together. No homosexuality. That all caved in the 60s. That's why late 60s TV shows, even ones on, will start having cursing and curse. And whoa. Motion picture production code. That's an interesting study if you never looked that up. Between 1930, for 34 years, the motion picture, that's movies, Hollywood, had a very strict production code. Doesn't mean it was never violated or broken, but that is very fascinating. Actually had a Presbyterian minister who headed that up. And man, I mean, they strictly enforced that with language and sexual things and homosexuality. All authority had to be portrayed as good. The old shows, good, bad, evil, respect. Clergy were never to be made fun of or done. I mean, I'm not saying everything was perfect, but there was a standard for that came down in the 60s. Broken. Up to the 60s, you know that all states in the United States had sodomy laws. We looked at this. Every state. Homosexual laws. In the 60s. You know, in the 50s and 60s, almost every state had adultery laws, fornication laws, and cohabitation laws. That means living together before you're married. What were the public schools like? Public schools. Bible, prayer, Ten Commandments, corporal punishment. 1962, prayer was banned as unconstitutional. 1963, the Bible was banned, unconstitutional. 1980, Ten Commandments were banned, unconstitutional. Are schools in any trouble today? Corporal punishment, believe it or not, in case kids don't know what that is, that's spanking at school. Boom! All right. That's still legal in 19 states. Now, I say this interesting. Most of the states that still have stronger blue laws, dry states, capital punishment, corporal punishment, are almost exclusively found in the South, known as the Bible Belt. Doesn't make them better, but I want you to notice that what makes the difference. Bible. The Bible Belt. oh, those things are being taken away, but they're still much more conservative, wouldn't you say? Because of the Bible Belt. They're called the Bible Belt because the proliferation of churches, especially Baptist churches, started by Schubel Stearns, who was a Yankee, who God called down there to start. And so the churches were planted over 100 years, still called the Bible Belt because there's a little vestige of still hanging to the things of the Bible. 1986, Great Britain outlawed corporal punishment in their schools. 2004, Canada outlawed corporal punishment in their schools. They're apparently no more than God. You say, what's your point, preacher? Here's my point. The reason America had those rules and laws that went through all society was because of this. The reason there was capital punishment, because the book says it. The reason there's corporal punishment was the book says it. The reason there were laws against adultery, fornication, and cohabitation, because the Bible said that. The reason homosexuality was sin, because the Bible said that. The reason alcohol and booze and Sunday, the Bible said that. The reason people look this way and dress that way. You ever watch TV shows? What did the men look like and the women look like? At baseball games. What? There was a clear distinction. You knew exactly what they were. You want to talk about modest? Now today we say, oh, that was old-fashioned stuff. We've gotten a lot better today, man. Everything's great today. No, but I want you to tell you this, whether you agree or disagree with all those things. And I'm not saying every one of those rules was correct. But the difference was, had a standard by and large. And even lost people, the standard was the Word of God. That's why you explained to your kids why they looked that way back then and acted that way and why shows and things were that. It wasn't because we were so. It was because America, by and large, was founded on the Bible standards of right and wrong and absolute truths and was guided by that. And the moment America, and again, the roots go way back and the seeds go way back before the 50s and 60s. Please understand that. But we began to see the fruit as the music changed. And the television began to get in the homes. Not saying any of those things by themselves. Today, my God, how many TVs are in homes? You don't need a TV anymore. Right here, how many children even have these? No filters, nothing. You asked a parent, again, I mentioned, why does your child have that? Can you give me your philosophy behind that? Really, you prayed, and what was the reason you gave that to them? I know, that's not going to make me a lot of friends. But I haven't changed on that. You can go back and listen to things I did for years with teens. I'm not wavering on that one. Why exactly? Well, they need to be able to call. Did you make it okay without having one as a kid? Did you do okay? Well, I got to know where they're at all times. Let me tell you, then they just need a phone with no internet. If that's the only reason they need it, to call home. Get them one without an internet. Why do they need that? Most parents don't know what to say after that. Good. Get them a flashlight and a flip phone. Why do they need all that stuff? That's not what they're using their phone for most of the time. And by the way, they're almost always with somebody that has a phone. Parents, I want to challenge you. Most people just do what everybody else does. Why are they in those? I'm not against all that. I'm not against sports leagues and dance club and art club and blah, 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 blah. I'm against the philosophy of why they're in it. I'm against the fact that you're just putting kids in those because other people are in those. I'm not opposed to those. I'm opposed to when I ask you why, you don't know why. You're either reliving your childhood. Your goals are not the same as God's. Fine if it's used as a mission statement. Fine if it helps teach character. I'm great with all of that. But give me a reason. Give me some philosophy behind it. Show me why they're doing what they're doing. Show me why you think they should not be at church. Where does that reasoning come from? Give me some Bible answers and we can disagree, but where did that thinking come from? You mean to think you think that's more helpful than the house of God? The pillar and ground of the truth? The point is, today in 2023, you live in America that by and large is no longer Christian, to where an American president can flaunt a gay pride flag beside Old Glory. And we say, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I would expect unbelievers to be that way. Why would we be shocked when lost people act like lost people? The problem is when God's people act like lost people. The problem is when God's people and God's church and people who say they're Christian parents act and live like the world, That's the problem. I don't get shocked when a lost person curses and uses profanity and hates God. I mean, why? I would do the same thing if I was lost, probably. They need Christ. But not when people who name the name of God live the same way and have the same philosophies and ways of thinking as the lost world. That is the problem. One passage of scripture, and we're through. You've been parked at Colossians. Go a little bit to your right, 2 Timothy 3, and we'll wrap it up here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I have certainly not parented correctly over the years. Many things I've gotten lazy on, slipped on, not allowed. I am not the standard by which you're to raise your children. You don't model the Boyers. You're not here to model the Cremars. You're not here to model anybody in the room. You're to model the Bible. Hey, if you can learn some things from some other families that you admire and you see some things, great. But you need to be based on the Bible, because if you model after another family, what happens when that family strays? What happens when they let you down? See, that's what happens. A lot of people just follow other things. Or you follow the college, or the book, or the author, or the school of thinking. And then you just follow them. Or you follow the church. You know how many Christians are in wicked liberal churches today? They've stayed there. The church has changed. They just stayed there. They went right along with it. Because that's human nature. Human nature is not to confront, not to admit, not to change. And your hope and glory, your philosophies must be based in the Word of God. The Word of God does not change. Anything else is sinking sand, and we're going to be spoiled. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, take a look at verses 1 to 8. This was written 2,000 years ago. But we are and have been in the last days. Notice what it says. By the way, last days began as soon as Christ ascended to heaven. This know also, we're in 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous means evil, wicked. For men, and you tell me if this doesn't sound like modern America, but this is what it was back then too. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. This other one always doesn't seem to fit. But the inspired Word of God says, what will be the sign of the times? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. The idea there is even in homosexuality. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Does this not sum up our country? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what is the Bible admonition for us as believers? From such, turn away. That's not the preacher saying that. God says, turn away. Keep reading. Keep reading. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses or homes and lead captive, interesting, captive spoil, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres, by inspiration he names two of the Egyptian magicians. Now as Jannes and Jambres, maybe they were twins, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Thy word is truth. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Oh my goodness. God says that's the last days. We're in them. We have been in them. We will continue to be in them. It will continue to get worse and more wicked and more vile. More and more lovers of God and the good will be the enemy. The devil is preparing this world for the tribulation. He's preparing the world for a one world government. The world will rejoice when believers are removed. Folks, they will rejoice. They will be glad to think it's aliens or magic or sorcerers. They will be glad to get rid of the hate mongers and the bigots and the judges. They will be glad. It will be a time of great rejoicing. And the world will finally be united. The devil is getting things ready and has been. Many believers are sucked into that way of thinking. Have you gone, parents and husbands and wives, as I conclude, please listen, do not daydream or not. Parents, have you simply just gone with the prevailing philosophy of the world? Have you slid down with the world? Have you been conformed? Have you believed the lie that you just can't do it? It takes a village. It's too late. God's word doesn't work anymore. The old, I tried it and it didn't work. Boy, another one of those, don't say that around me. You tried the Bible and it didn't work. Now that's a subtle slam at who? God. Maybe not so subtle. Now I get offended. I get angry. I've said it before, but I've done that. But I tried having devotions. It didn't work. I tried praying. I tried coming. What is that supposed to mean? God's word's not, it doesn't work then? It's not sufficient? God's got a flaw? We're going to blame God? Makes me feel good for when my kids go astray. Makes me feel good when marriage breaks apart. Makes me feel good. I can excuse my wrong thoughts and my actions. That's not biblical though. No. No, it's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord. It's right here's the problem. Me and my sin-cursed mind and deceptive heart. Well, what's the remedy? Preacher, you gave us bad news. You've beaten us up. I'm bloodied and battered. You already had me down for the count in the second round. Now you're stomping on me. Give us the remedy. I'll give you the remedy, but I promise you, you've heard it before. There's no magic pill. There's no fancy new little thing that you can just swallow and it's all going to ba-boom. I know you didn't want to see that, did you? The book. Old-fashioned Bible. Old-fashioned discipline. Old-fashioned determination to do things God's way. Not trusting your feelings. Not believing the lies that your heart and mind tell you. Not glance around at everybody else but the book. You get back to the book. Your life. Your marriage. Your home, your family. There's no other way, folks. The Bible. The Word of God. The book that God has given to us for everything we need. What's the remedy? It's easy. Turn back to God. Turn back. That means I've got to acknowledge I'm going the wrong direction. There has to be some personal responsibility. I have not done it God's way. We don't like to use this word, I know. We are in sin before God. I mean, what is sin? Sin is not doing things God's way. So if you've been parenting not God's way, that's called sin. You got to call it that. In fact, you may even have to call it rebellion. God has shown me what to do, and I have rebelled against it and not done it. I mean, that's what rebellion is. We love to tell our kids that. You rebel. What's a rebel? You're not obeying mom and dad. What's a rebel? Not obeying God. I don't think a lot of homes and families and marriages are going to get changed until we admit what God calls it. You have rebelled against my way and my words. You have done your own thing in your own way. Some of you perhaps misguided, ignorant, didn't know any better. God's truth was revealed today. Holy Spirit may have applied it to you. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to repent and acknowledge our sin and rebellion. That needs to go to God first, and then it has to go to a spouse, parent, family, sit the kids down. Call it what God calls it. Not mom and daddy messed up. Mom and dad have been a sin. All your kids will sit up and listen. Dad's been in rebellion to God. And I got that right with God, and I need to ask you to forgive me. I need to get those things better. I'm going to do it God's way. Whoa! Cleanse your home of anything that's against God, His word, and His ways. Cleanse your home. I mean, get serious. What in there has got wrong philosophies? We say, what will be nothing left? Wrong philosophies, wrong things of the world. You got a clean house. You got to be a Bible Old Testament Josiah. I mean, you got to get down to business. You got to do every nook, every cranny, every book, every magazine, every TV show, every CD, every DVD, every little thing there is. Yeah. You got to understand the enemy. You got to understand the mind and the thinking. You got to go back to Joshua, and God said, get rid of all the giants. Get rid of every last. It's a picture of sin. And none of them did. And they all came back. Can't just pluck the weed. You've got to get the root. You've got to open your Bible, begin parenting God's way. I want to finish with this. You've got to parent God's way. I preached it before, and I'm going to preach it again. Training and discipline of children. God has a way. It's right in here. It's all through the book of Proverbs. It's called the rod of correction. I don't know what else there is to tell you. I really don't. I don't know what to say to a parent who says we don't do that. I don't know. What do you want to call that? Why is your child the exception? How is God wrong? That goes back to God. God doesn't know what he's talking about. It doesn't apply to today. That's old fashioned. Your thinking is wrong. I'm not saying everybody that does it is correctly. There's proper ways to use the rod of correction, but you know that God tells you how to do it? God designed the body. God designed children. He designed families. And God says, here's how we do it. Doesn't mean every single infraction or discipline or sin, but God says very quickly, read Proverbs, show exactly what to do and how to do it in a loving, firm, regular, consistent manner where you're a picture of God the Father. There's repentance, there's forgiveness, there's hugs, there's tears. And by the way, it is the most humane and loving thing that you can do to your children. Because you deal with the problem, you get forgiveness, and it's over. It's over. There's a restored relationship, and it's over. It doesn't hang over you like all the other things that the world say is better. God's way is always best. And when you do it God's way, his way, the right way, in love, with a spirit of learning, let me tell you that. God says, your children, that's exactly the way I made it. There isn't. You got to do it God's way. You've got to obey, open the Bible, begin parenting God's way. You're in 2 Timothy. I finish with this. What does the Bible say at the end of chapter 3, verse 14? 2 Timothy 3:14, I'm done. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If you're here today, I would be glad to privately meet with you. I'd be glad to hear your objections. I understand some of you may have been disciplined the wrong way and it scarred you. You've heard stories, you've read stories, you believe stories. I'd be glad to help you with that. I'd be glad to encourage you in that way. But I'm here to tell you, go back, and this isn't the standard, but you go back to the 50s and 60s when almost every home, saved or unsaved, practiced the Bible way. Not everybody, but almost. No doubt about it. And schools. And you ask me, what's better? Today or then? I mean, there's no, you know the answer. We've removed all of that and said, no, we know better than God. We know what we're doing. And our world and our homes and our marriages and our schools are a disaster. And most of us, I hope, are burdened. Broken, saying, oh my goodness, God. And we should be like Nehemiah and Ezra and David and Daniel and say, oh God, we have sinned against you. Not the lost world. We, God's people, we have sinned against you. We've not done it. Now, that doesn't mean every home and every family. Praise God, I'm sure there are. Amen. Good, godly, strong homes. God is pleased. Nothing has to change. Praise God. Stay by the stuff. But perhaps God has spoken to you. Parents, I'm passionate. I'm passionate about strong homes and marriages. Mine needs to be a lot stronger. Ugh. It made me keeper of the vineyards, and my own vineyard have I not kept. I'm conscious of that verse. It's easy to help you get your vineyards together, and my own vineyard I haven't kept. God is passionate about godly homes and marriages and family. God loves them. He designed it right at the beginning. It's the heartbeat of God. He loves strong homes and marriages, and strong dads. And strong husbands make strong homes. And strong homes make strong churches. Because churches are made up of homes and families. And strong churches make strong communities and strong towns. And strong towns and communities make strong cities and counties and impact states and whole nations. But you have to trace the string the whole way back to the home. To the dad, the father, the husband, the wife. Each one of us doing things God's way. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our time is up. I'll not go long. Invitation is between you and God. I know it was a hard-hitting message. I hope you see I preached that in love. Preached it at myself. It's easy, especially as the kids get older. And I know that. You let the guard down. You think they don't need mom and dad as much anymore. I'll just bother them. They won't listen anymore. They're old enough to make up their own mind. My parents did that with me. I guess I'll let it with them. I'm pretty confident. And yet we see our children and we're burdened. Maybe we're brokenhearted. We may even be scared of the very direction they're going. And yet maybe we're saying, I don't know what to do. And I say, please don't give up. God's Word has the answer. Regular, consistent application of God's Word will do what God says. Please apply the Word of God. If you're here today and God spoke to your heart, our time is up. Our children's workers, our nursery workers are ready to go. We'll not have any music or any song. I appreciate them being ready. It's in the quietness of your heart. Perhaps you need to get some things right with God. Perhaps today, this afternoon, instead of doing what you normally do, you have a little quieter afternoon, a little more somber, a little more sober, a little more meditation, a little more getting alone with God, saying, oh God, you spoke to me. God, maybe it looks scary. It looks scary. You're going to have to change a lot of things. Some of you say, I just can't do it. It's going to be too much. God is able to help. Father, I pray that I pleased you with the message I preached. With authority based on the Word of God, but in love. I don't believe there's any home, any family, any life outside of your transforming power. Lord, it has to start the Bible way by the renewing of our minds. We've got to make sure our thinking, our philosophy, our ways are Bible-based. Or if not, everything's going to go astray. It's going to end up crooked. Lord, we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to trust you and believe you. We've got to do it the Bible way. Each and every time. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd restore and strengthen homes and marriages and families. I pray husbands and wives would communicate. I pray wives would share their concerns with their husbands and husbands would admit some things and share their concerns. I pray there'd be some family devotions and family meeting time and they'd express some things and have some tears and some crying and some forgiveness. And Lord, I pray there'd be some homes as a result of the message and the marriage and some lives straightened out today. And I pray there'd be folks who have the courage to stay in the Bible and do it God's way and to believe the Bible. And by faith, raise their home and their family and their children the way God says. Oh, God, help none of us to have gone astray or to be spoiled. Lord, let us be on the alert and be aware. Let us stand for the things of God. Let us make a difference in our community and in this church. And Lord, may this church be known as a church with strong, godly families. Strong, loving, biblical marriages where kids can say, man, the marriages in this church are awesome. I love it. I love to see the marriages in this church. I love to see men and women loving on each other and laughing and looking like marriage is fun, exciting, the best thing there can be rather than, Lord, I pray that young people could grow up knowing that children are awesome and having kids is a blessing. And Lord, it's not something to be scared or run from. Lord, that we would do things the Bible way. Lord, we love you. I thank you that you're a God of forgiveness, a God of second and third and 100th chances. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Now, Lord, may we walk out today determined to know your word, to follow your word, and to do your word, no matter what, because it always works. Let us not give up. Let us not quit. Now, Lord, we love you, and we thank you. Give us a great afternoon. Bring us back for Bible school. May you have your way in our hearts and homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here.